Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with AJ today here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got a lot to do this morning as we talk. We start with college football. And the University of Texas appears to be out, Lance. It doesn't look like they are going to get there despite everything that Sark is talking about. And there's a lot of folks, including, I don't know if I'm reading between the lines of everything Sark has been saying or whatever, but I don't think they're playing Ohio State anymore. And now that the SEC is going to nine games, you're going to see a bunch of these teams not playing anybody because – Now, Colin Cowherd had a pretty good point. They're not getting punished because they played Ohio State or lost to Ohio State. They're getting punished because they lost to Florida.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But at the same time, had they not played Ohio State, here's right. The difference. Here's what he's not talking about. It's just turned into what's the number in your loss column. That's all that matters. They're not even really focusing on wins because if they did, they'd be in ahead of Oklahoma. That's the for sure ahead of Miami. And that's really the problem here is that they didn't focus on the win column. They only focused on the loss column. So, yeah, what Colin is saying is correct in a sense. However, you know, had they played Western Carolina and won that game, which gives you no bonus points, but they would have had two losses and they would have been in for sure. Because you can't make an argument that these other two lost teams are better than them. Certainly not Oklahoma. So, in a sense, yeah, you're not being punished for Ohio State. But if you didn't play Ohio State and didn't have that loss, the Florida loss wouldn't have kept you out. The quality of wins, and this is, you know, when we talk, John, this is one of the things we talked about. This was supposed to not happen. It was supposed to be, well, this allows, now that we're expanded, you don't get punished as badly by playing, you know, this should allow for harder matchups with teams where they're willing to do that because you don't have to have zero or one loss. And yet Texas, who played a schedule that included five really tough opponents in Vanderbilt, two loss, Georgia, who's number three, Ohio State, number one, Texas A&M, number three when they played them and undefeated, and then Oklahoma, who ends up at number eight, I believe, right? Eight or nine?
Oklahoma's eight.
You played that schedule. Like, I saw the argument, like, Texas didn't play a hard non-conference schedule. They only played, you know, Ohio State. Like, it's not about that. If you just don't have a third loss, you're 100% in. And so the idea that this would allow for people to maybe schedule tougher matchups, you're right, that's been blown out the door. Alabama's already made a scheduling change. It's small, but they already took South Florida off the schedule and moved them to 2032 and replaced them with an easier game. I can't remember who it was that they.
Well, listen, there's no guarantee in whoever Texas played at the beginning of the season that they would have beat. There's no guarantee in it because they were not playing good football at that time.
No, but Ohio State is a little. And Julian's saying team. It was not like he. I mean, this kid hadn't played anybody. He never played, so it was his first. It was his first, just like it was Arch's first out of the gate, really, for the most part. So was Saiyan. He was first out of the gate. Their offense wasn't really clicking.
No, it wasn't great. It was interesting. Alabama jumping Notre Dame. Now, I mean, AJ, I put in sound from Marco Rubio, and even
from Marco Rubio,
the White House is getting involved in this.
Oh,
okay?
Jesus! Please stay out of this. Government, stay out of our football.
He's not the only one. Listen, there was
in
Congress yesterday. They were talking about Lane Kiffin and how the government needs to step in and change the rules of college football.
Guys, guys, I don't know where you stand on government intervention.
It's
in a general sense, most people are not huge fans of government intervention in sports.
Well, listen. If the government needs to step in to clean up college football, I think that's the most important thing they'll ever do.
Yeah, or the health, or maybe health care.
Well,
the government can step in and maybe do something about our health care prices.
Well, that's...
You know, I care about that more than Lane Kiffin, to be honest with you.
No, I don't. I care more about... What do you spend more time on? You spend more time on college football than you do on your health care.
No, you're wrong. Do you not know my family? We spend more time and money. I hit my $10,000 family deductible for the third year in a row this year. So, no. I spend it more on insurance.
Well, you probably spend more money on that. I get that.
Yeah.
But you spend more time on college football.
Well, that has nothing. I don't need government in my college football.
Well, here is, okay. Now, Alabama jumps Notre Dame for whatever reason. They beat Auburn barely. Barely got past Auburn. They are ahead of Notre Dame.
You don't know why, John? It's easy. They're positioning it so they don't have so if they lose to Georgia, the fall, they can drop them all the way to the back end and keep them in. You know, can you see a scenario
10 is as low
Texas?
As you can go. Listen, 10 is as low as you can go. So they're at 9.
Had to give them a little bit of wiggle room where they can drop them if they lose.
Exactly. Well, I don't think you should fall at all if you lose your championship.
Well, what if they lose by 30?
That's another story. Especially if you lose to Georgia, who's the number 3 team in the country. Now, if Texas Tech loses, first of all, BYU jumps up anyway because they're going to be the Big 12 representative, and we'll see if Texas Tech stays in there.
Yeah.
But that's another story. But Notre Dame at 10 now is very interesting because Miami is at 12, and Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head, and both have the same record. And Notre Dame does not have really any signature wins. I mean, so this is going to be very interesting. Even Marco Rubio had something to say about this.
This, and I know I'm last, so I wanted to be fast, but there was a lot to cover. I do want to say this is the most wonderful and magical time of the year. By that, of course, I'm referring to the college football playoffs. And I just want to say this as a point of personal privilege. And I'm a Florida Gator, but if the University of Miami gets screwed out of the college football playoffs after going 10-2 and beating Notre Dame, the whole thing should be scrapped, and you're going to have to take over next year.
See, listen, don't make the president come in there, okay? Don't make him come in there.
Well, he'll jump in on anything.
Well, it should. Wait a minute. The point being here, should Notre Dame be ahead of Miami?
I think they're a better team. If we're talking about who the best teams are, who's playing the best, who Notre Dame's playing substantially better than Miami since the third week of football. It's not even close. Like, they're playing much better than Miami. Notre Dame is playing like one of the better teams in college football. The teams they're playing, they're beating the brakes off of them. And they got a running game that is like, you know, their problem is they've got a freshman quarterback who will do some stupid stuff. He's actually pretty talented. But he does some stupid stuff, and they're pretty average defensively. I just think if you let Vegas do it, I bet you Vegas has power rating where Notre Dame's higher than Miami. And you and I have both been proponents a long time of saying, let Vegas do this. Vegas knows better than anyone else.
Yeah, Miami's been beating the brakes off everybody too. Go look at what they've been winning by. Uh-huh. They've been kicking ass. The, you know, Notre Dame beats Syracuse. Oh, well. And Stanford. Oh, well. They throw in a touchdown pass when they're up 31-15 over Pitt with 18 seconds left. They're beating Navy. They didn't crush Boston College.
No, they didn't
crush Boston
College.
They just got by USC. Their resume is terrible. Notre Dame's resume is terrible.
But what's the argument? Neither team's going to be going to get a home.
No,
game,
they're going to be
right?
on the road.
So what's the? I don't even know what the argument is.
Well, getting in. I mean, at least you get a shot if you're.
Well,
in.
Both of them are in though.
No, they're not in. Miami's not in.
Why isn't Miami?
Miami's
be
12.
In?
Guess what? They need. You got to bring in the group of five. You're out. Miami's out.
Well, we'll see.
No,
I mean, if North Texas wins, you think they're in ahead of Miami?
They have to.
They have
yes.
to. What's the number that you have to hit?
You have to be in the top 25, and they're in already.
It's just 25. It's not 20.
Yeah. No.
It's no. top. Wait.
You just have to be ranked.
So it's you have to take in the AP top 25?
No, it's the college football playoff ranking. And if they don't, James Madison will be in. And so, and if Tulane wins, they'll be in.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have no problem with Miami being out. I think I don't know. When I watch Miami, you can make an argument for them being in for sure. I think Texas, Miami, Oklahoma, and I suppose Notre Dame. I mean, I hate automatic qualifiers. This is stupid.
Well,
I hate these. I hate
the only reason
qualifiers.
That there's 10, the 10 is the number right
put
now.
Put them in a play-in.
Because you got to get the ACC champ in there, and you got to get the group of five champ.
Put them in a play-in. James Madison, you know, like college basketball. Look, I'm not for expanding college football playoffs beyond
you
where
you want them
it
to
is.
Play on a Tuesday night in Dayton?
Play-in, James Madison, you have to play-in against, you know, Duke or whatever. And the winner then gets to – whoever wins that gets to get a spot in the college football playoffs. But you can't really do that because the physicality of this sport – here's the difference that people don't really take into account when they want to just keep adding games is this is a sport that causes CTE, which is brain damage. It is well known as early as the high school ages because we saw the guy who had CTE who shot up New York and killed people from my office in NFL.com. Or shot people. No, I can't remember if he killed someone from New York. No. He shot people there. But he was going there specifically because he had CTE and the NFL, you know, he believed the NFL covered it up. He had CTE from high school. He wasn't a college football player. He actually ended up being right when they studied his brain. You can't just keep firing games on top of games on top of games. And so they're going to have to cut the number of games. So you can't just expand it to, you know, end up being a 15, 16 game season. It's going to be. It's just not feasible.
Yeah.
So well, that's why I don't know how much broader it gets, but it just does fundamentally bother me a little bit that when I watch the wins that Texas had, I just feel like Texas is one of the – I never thought that we would see an expanded playoffs where a team that I thought definitely deserved to be in – and usually Texas wouldn't have that many good wins to look at. That's an unusual amount of really good wins. A&M – Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. Those are good wins. Now, Oklahoma neutral, A&M at home, Vanderbilt at home. You could take a look at that. Their two losses that were big losses were all three losses were on the road. But, yeah, Florida killed them. There's no doubt. They should have played better football. I mean, they do have nobody but themselves to blame.
Yep. All right. We're just getting it started. You got any thoughts on this or anything else? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. We've got a lot of Texans to do, some Rockets as well. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, let's take a quick break here. Let's talk a little Underdog, Lance.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Underdog Fantasy and what we're doing with Underdog Fantasy today. We're talking about, you know, your ability to get in on basketball and the prediction market. And so what do I mean by prediction market? Well, we can now pick teams. Did you know that? We got fast break, buzzer beaters, block parties. They're all back. And this season you can make team picks and player picks, both. Just download the app, sign up, and you're going to get $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. That's all it takes to unlock those $100 in bonus entries. Use Underdog. It's easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower in stats like points and rebounds, steals, and more. Basketball's going on today. Plus, with Underdog's quick payouts, you can get your profits quickly. So download the app today. Use promo code Lance to score $100 in bonus entries and make your first five after you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, it's all on Underdog.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore HTML for details. Consider with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
Hey, can I ask you what your thoughts? So you heard I was out. When was it? When was the Egg Bowl played?
The what?
Egg Bowl was Friday, right?
Last Friday.
So we've never We've all seen it, but you and I have never – we did not discuss this yesterday, or the last 2 days, I should say. We didn't discuss the fact that there is a writer and a podcaster for Ole Miss Sports who made a comment. He was highlighting lyrics from Ludacris, the rapper Ludacris, where he said, "You can't turn a hoe into a housewife." And he was referencing Lane Kiffin and the thought that Lane Kiffin was going to leave. This is before Lane officially made his before he prayed on everything, quote unquote, which he had already prayed on it about 8 months, 8 weeks prior when he already decided he was leaving and he was going to go to Florida. But then he changed to LSU, even though he claims he doesn't even know how much money he's making or even what's in the contract. The only thing that's important to him is how much money he can give his players. So he's kind of altruistic like that. But this guy called you. I'm sure you saw that, John, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had to. Okay. So he said you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. He made, and his comment was that Lane's not loyal and you're not going to change who he is. Well, Lane Kiffin saw this guy. His name is Ben something. And he saw that he was walking into the
Ben
tunnel
Garrett.
After they beat Mississippi State. He's got his four security, you know, the troopers with him, like everyone has, you know, especially in the SEC. He turns around, he goes back and sees the guy, and he says something about, you know, don't call me a hoe. You want to follow me into the tunnel and find out if I'm a hoe or something like that. And everyone's like, ooh, Lane's standing on business. Lane is on that business. And everyone's all excited. And then Lane immediately prays on it and leaves. And it turns out that, I mean, I noticed that, so Lane left his dog behind, right? The dog that he had, he's good. Juice got left behind. His dog, like, leave that dog. I'm out of here. His clothes, apparently, Ole Miss is like, man, take that rack of Lane's clothes and throw that out on the sidewalk. I don't know if you ever saw that picture where he's got a whole rack of shirts and everything that had been dry cleaned. They just threw it out on the sidewalk for whoever to get. And because that's how they do it in the SEC. Like, it's truly different. Like, it's dangerous, like, for real. And it's petty and it's all of that. And Lane just fits it because he's like a messy sorority girl with how he handles all this stuff. But he's kind of fun to watch. It's weird TV, I got to admit. But is that kid – do we look at him a little different? Now, I know everyone was, ooh, you got roasted, Lane. But did you see him in the press conference? He asked Lane the same question. In that same press conference, he said, I wasn't calling you a hoe. I was saying you can't change the tendencies of not being able to be, you know, to change who you are, change your stripes. He basically doubled down and went right back at Lane Kiffin in this exact same press conference after Lane had confronted him. And he ended up being right about all this stuff. Like, I just wondered if you – we hadn't talked about it. I wonder what your thoughts on that whole thing was. It's just a petty little internet discussion. You know, it's just us being gossipy. It doesn't have anything to do with football, really, but I just wanted your thoughts.
I just don't get the whole Lane. I mean, he's going to LSU, and LSU's all happy and giddy and everything else, but what has he done? I mean, that's all he does is jump. He's right. Ben Garrett was right. Mm-hmm. That's all he does is jump jobs. That's all he does. He gets somewhere and he gets to some level. What did he do at Ole Miss? Honestly,
he competed. He competed and he did like most SEC West teams do. Made a little noise, lose to Georgia or Alabama, and finishes second tier.
That's, I mean, so far, I mean, and I love Summy. So far, he's Summy. He didn't win anything in the SEC, mm-hmm. right? And now, but he's the toast. He's the number one guy. I got to have Lane Kiffin. Everybody's going after him.
Yeah,
I don't get it. I just don't get it. He hasn't done anything yet. And that's all he does is jump jobs. That's all he does. And he's going to jump from LSU, probably go to the pros next, back to the pros.
You think so? LSU feels like that's a job he'd sit
we'll
down
see,
with.
Dude.
I mean,
he wouldn't be the first guy to leave. He wouldn't be the first guy to leave LSU. Well, I got a good thing going on today.
Yeah, but only Nick did it because he wanted to go back to the NFL. Like, most guys don't leave on their own, leave LSU on their own.
Well, we'll see if he – well, guess what? He's got to win at the highest – and now –
they'll get rid of him before he leaves, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's
a – they'll get real sick of Lane, and then Lane's going to get snippy with local media, and then they're going to get on – and then they're going to get on sports talk shows and start ripping Lane Kiffin to shreds. Lane came into this city thinking he's going to be some kind of way – I've seen it. My dad coached at LSU. they will have signs in your front yard quick if you if you don't do what you're supposed to do. And they turned on a guy they love that won a national championship that was literally one of them. He was
absolutely.
I mean,
yeah. No. They'll turn on him in a. Oh, don't worry. First loss.
You see it with your own family.
Oh my God, they're the worst. It's the worst. It's the worst. I mean, their expectations are always. Now they have three national championships, though. Their expectations
they can
before,
win,
yeah. Even before that, they were like this. Though I'm telling you, they thought they just think that the LSU just thinks that its place in college football is at the top, and no one else deserves to be there. It is an unrealistic place. I mean, just a couple of years after he wins, Les Miles beat it. Just Orgeron beat it. You know what? Get out. We don't want you here anymore because you lost. Yeah, I mean, the program is going in the wrong direction. They might be right. I mean, those guys weren't great coaches by any means. But I don't know. I don't know what Lane Kiffin has done to get this glory that he's getting. Now, Paul Feinbaum. Now, did you see that Sumrall said in his press conference, he said, listen, I've talked to Lane, and Lane gave me his blessing to take this Florida job. And everybody at Florida is like, what? What are you talking? What? Lane Kiffin gave you? Yeah, we talk all the time. And you know what? He said that job is perfect for you. Go get that. Go get that job at Florida. And I don't know what Florida fans think of that Lane Kiffin gave his blessing when he kicked them to the curb. But Paul Feinbaum, I mean, like this is something that we've been talking about for a while. But college football, it's the dirty little secret. It is not about the athletic directors. It's not about the presidents of the universities. There's a guy that's pulling all the strings right now in college football. Here is, AJ, you got Paul Feinbaum ready? Here's Paul Feinbaum telling the truth about the coaching carousel.
Absolutely. Now remember, Lane Kiffin is not the puppet master. The puppet master of all this, Greeny, is somebody that most people don't know out in the hinterlands, but everybody on this panel knows. His name is Jimmy Sexton. He's with CAA, and he calls most of the shots in college football. And I hear some laughter there.
There's the conspiracy.
Because there's a bit. Because of,
he's Rex's agent, but okay.
He pulled the curtain back.
He's the agent here, and he controls almost all of them, not everyone, but most of the major coaches. So yesterday when this coaching carousel went on, when Kiffin went here, about 7 or 8 or 9 of Jimmy Sexton's clients started going elsewhere, and he's the one who places them all and sets the market price.
They just pulled
the curtain back on what college football people talk about.
Yep. And we've been talking about that for a while. And you know, it's ridiculous. And ADs, he's got ADs, he's got college coaches. The ADs go with the client. Jimmy Sexton's, he hires them. They go there. They all get rich, get huge contracts. The AD makes sure that college coach is taken, and Jimmy Sexton gets a percentage of everything that's going on.
Think about these names, right? Steve Sarkisian. He and Sark came out and said we had nothing to do with these rumors about Sark leaving. It was not that those rumors didn't come out to try to leverage Texas to more money. It was terrible timing. It wouldn't have worked, and Texas would have never bid. That's not what it was. It actually, from what I heard, came from inside. Kalen DeBoer, Alabama. Steve Sarkisian, Texas. Mike Norvell, Florida State. Lane Kiffin. You see how this stuff went. James Franklin. I mean, he gets a piece of their payouts too, right? Does he get a? Yeah, he gets a piece of the payouts. Kirby Smart. Nick Saban has been his. And there's many, many, many more. But those are just some of the biggest names. And yeah, when you control that many coaches, there's a strong level of power. Now I'm not sure what Mike found. There's a power to pit teams against each other to kind of play puppet master. That's true. I don't think he has anything to do with college football playoffs. So I don't think that's what Feinbaum was talking about, though.
No, he's just got the whole and he just controls where everybody goes. That's what he does. The agents have now, and the agents are getting the big percentage of the players now. It is just, there's no bigger mess than college football. I don't know a business that could survive with how college football is run. It's run as poorly as possible with no leadership, no it's just ridiculous. The college football, and yet the product is still great on the field. Everybody, oh, it's ruining college football and everything. You see, every stadium's still full. The ratings are unbelievable. They're great. You know, we all complain about all of this stuff, and yet the game is so good that it's overcoming all of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, and because we just love it
we haven't even gotten into. Did you see the crumble cookie thing yesterday?
No.
People are like, this is why college football is the best, and it's not even close, and why anyone would think college isn't. So the internet went crazy yesterday because BYU was getting ready to lose their head coach, and I can't remember the guy's name, Polynesian name. They were getting ready to lose their head coach to Penn State. Penn State had really ramped up, you know, the full court press on BYU's head coach. And all of a sudden, the guy who's the CEO of Crumbles Cookies, the Mormon guy, and I only say that just because there's been now a fight about Amish whoopie pies versus Mormons crumble cookies and stuff like that. He on Twitter, he goes, all right, you know, the head coach has been too good of
Kalani
Sitake. Yeah, Kalani Sitake's been too good of, you know, too good of whatever. The things are going crazy. Or he made some kind of comment, I need to get off the sidelines and get into this. He made that just one simple sentence on Twitter, and apparently people knew what he was talking about because he earlier this year paid the fine for the school when the fans bum-rushed the field from BYU. The school got fined, and he paid the fine for the entire school. He's the Canes chicken guy,
right?
For LSU, that's what he is for BYU, Crumbles, yep, Cookies. And he basically just fired a bunch of money at the head coach, and they were like, I never thought we would see Crumbles Cookies come into college football to rescue a head coach from being stolen from Penn State. Like, this is what is going on in college football? Now the chicken guys and the cookie guys have more power than anybody. It's true. Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. Don't let Tillman get involved where you start getting casinos and restaurants involved.
Yeah, listen. No, right. Well, yeah, if anybody comes after Kelvin Sampson, don't worry. Don't worry. Here comes Tillman. He'll come flying in off the top rope, mm-hmm, and he'll take you out Italian style. He'll take
Crumble
you out Italian style.
Well, okay? Watch out now.
All right, don't even mess with the Kelvin
I don't
Sampson.
Like hearing Italian style. I'm not going after your coach if you're going to do something.
He's the ambassador.
Style.
He's the ambassador.
He is the ambassador.
Yeah. All right, we got a break. I don't know if you know. I mean, the Coors Lights were flying yesterday here. I was in my daughter and I. We just had a big time. And we're going to the game tonight. And guess what we're going to be drinking over at the Prudential Center? We're watching some Devils hockey. And we are going to throw down some Coors Lights. That's what we're going to do.
Does she throw down Coors Lights too? Or is that not just you? Does she do it too?
She does too. Absolutely.
So it's a family affair.
Yeah, it's a family. Well, what do you think? I'm going to let them drink something else? They're going to drink Coors Lights. Or they get this. All right, they get it the Italian way. Okay, you get a backhand. You want a fresh one? Yeah, you drink something else.
So what I'm getting from you is that you either drink Coors Light in this family, or you're going to get a fresh one.
You get a fresh one.
Okay,
that's right.
I just want to.
So here's the deal. Here is the deal. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, then you do it. If you don't, you raise your kids right, like I do. Have them drinking Coors Lights. That's what we do in our family. And that's what you should do, too. Raise your kids right on Coors Light. That's the only way. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any better than having a Coors Light whole house, everyone united and behind Coors Light. If you're looking for the best way to get cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, climb on, brother. Let's drink some Coors Lights.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's time for the ESPN Houston Christmas party. Lance and I are going to be there from 7 to 10. Joe and Jeremy are going to be there from 10 until 1. at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. We'll have autographed footballs, baseballs, and gift cards to give away. Eggnog chugging, as always, and all the games that we'll be playing as well. Courtney's going to have that all. So we're going to have a big time. We want you to be out there. That's going to be Monday, December 22nd. Monday, December 22nd. Let's go. That's going to be fun. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get some Texans talk in here. I liked what they did a much better job on short yardage situations. Did you like the Stover sneaks?
Yeah, I was fine with it. I've been waiting for something like that anyway. It didn't work. I think you need to figure out where you're going to run. You can't run over left guard. He doesn't get enough leg drive, Titus Howard. So I think that's, you know, the concern. Are you guard, center, guard? Do you get enough push? But, yeah, typically, I know it didn't work, but, I mean, just objectively, I like that way better from point A to point B trying to pick up a yard than handing the ball off to a running back who's invariably going to get traffic in the backfield. I don't know the last time we saw. I think we saw it one time where the Texans blew somebody off the ball on a short yardage run. The rest of it has to be running backs trying to find a way to get it themselves. So, yeah, well, I actually liked it fine.
Yeah, it didn't work the first time, but it worked the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right. they ran it. Didn't they run it twice and not get it? They ran it three times, right? Once they got it the first time, I thought, and the next two times they didn't get it.
On third and fourth. When they went on third and fourth down, I thought they got it when they got on the fourth down.
No, they didn't get it on fourth down. It was turnover on downs. That was the problem. And everyone's like, Nick Kennedy sucks. I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was the right call.
Well, I absolutely thought it was the right call. Here is D'Amico talking about that situation and why he did it.
During that series, we were driving the ball down. Felt really good of how we were driving the ball. Honestly, on the first third down, I felt like we got it. I felt we had really good movement, and I told the guys to do it again. Just being aggressive there, that's my call as the head coach. I'm aggressive, so, hey, it didn't work. That happens sometimes, but it's not going to stop me from being aggressive. Yeah, I mean, there are always numbers, analytics, but it's also a feel. When I see our guys move the pile there on third and one like they moved it, I feel like we could have did it again. And so I'm not going back on that decision there. They already confirmed it, and so it was. I couldn't challenge it at that point.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. I didn't mind it at all. As a matter of fact, it's a much better play than handing off to Woody off left tackle and getting a 2-yard loss, which is what they've done how many times this season. You know what? Get better at it. Get Stover in there. We see other teams using their tight end. You don't want to use CJ because of the head thing. Right? You know, let's get Stover in there and get it right. Push, get somebody behind him that can push him. Get a big, big fat guy that can push him from behind. And let's keep on doing that. I agree wholeheartedly. And,
yeah.
And go for it when you're supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, you got to be smart. I mean, if it's a low scoring game and the other team, you know, if you're playing the Titans or something, you don't want to give a team. Well, there's two ways to look at it. Sometimes you say you're going to go for it more against those teams because what are they going to do? Score on you? But at the same time, if you're in a battle with a good team and it's a lower scoring game, sometimes just, like, I'm a big believer, if you got a chance to take three and you're not a great fourth down team, which the Texans are not, take your three. And if it's a low, unless you're playing, you know, a team that scores a lot of points, but read the situation. Don't just say analytics. You just say, okay, this is a low-scoring game. This is a hard-fought game against a good team. We need to beat this team. It doesn't look like this is going to be an explosive scoring game. Then points are more valuable in those. So take your three. Play it. Dan Campbell doesn't do that enough. Dan Campbell just said, we're going. Yeah. We're going. And he's killed him. He's killed his team a couple times with not taking three because it comes back when you actually play it out. You know, these game theory. I love these guys who talk about game theory. They don't get fired. People on Twitter talking about game theory who don't get fired for their decisions and don't live with the repercussions of decisions that have failed execution and there are repercussions on the field with the score or with the way you have to proceed after that. Those people kill me. They don't get fired. They don't have people looking for their jobs. So they can just yell out game theory. But the reality is I had no problem with D'Amico going for two plays to get 1 yard. It didn't work. I had no problem with that. Because in general, he's not – I don't think he's necessarily overly aggressive by league standards. I think sometimes the calls are not – don't give you the best chance because you can't just line up and hit someone in the mouth. I don't know if D'Amico's figured that out yet or Nick Cayley, but they're not a hit-somebody-in-the-mouth team. You're just not. So your plays have to be a little more creative. And a quarterback sneak with a tight end, to me, is fine. I'm fine with that. It works most of the time. Well, for other teams.
And they were at, listen, you take the three there, right? You go up seven, but then you got to kick off to them. Otherwise, they get the ball on their own 17-yard line. I like it. I was fine. Even though you didn't get it, you got to, listen, get better at it. It's starting to not, I mean, even Philadelphia's faltering with that play now.
We're seeing people get under the center. Well, yeah. And it was smart because teams really made a big deal about talking about they're jumping off sides. They're moving before the center snaps. And so they put that in Philadelphia's mind. And if you don't have – one of the things that makes that play so unstoppable is that your guards can move and create contact before the center even snaps. And defenses aren't supposed to move until the center snaps. So they get an advantage. And referees aren't calling it. All of a sudden, they made it a big focus. Defense was like, they move early.
They do.
And they're 100% right. And now Philadelphia holds their water a little bit longer, and it's taken some of that advantage away.
Yep. 713-780-3776. Is Longhorn Scott there? Did he call back?
I don't see him.
He's off.
I'll tell him to you.
Well, we didn't see you. If you want to call back in and get in here and talk about college football or the Texans, whatever it is that you wanted to talk about, you're more than welcome to get back in here. 713-780-3776. A reminder to get to, if you're going to watch, listen, all your games, Saturday, great day to go watch your football at Damaris. All the championship games that are going to be going on, Saturday is all-you-can-eat ribs day. So get on over there to either 17th Street or Shepherd, or 18th Street or Shepherd, and watch all your college football games. They got the TVs at Shepherd too. They got the bar over at on 18th Street, but they got all you can eat ribs at Damaris. So let's go get on over there and enjoy those delicious ribs and all you can eat. And then after you're done eating, you're gonna have to go to the bathroom. And if you go to the bathroom and your toilet is clogged, what a gross situation you have here after all you can eat, right? And maybe you had family over and they blew up your bathroom. Now, who do you call? Who do you call if somebody blows up your bathroom? You call Billy Brown, right? You call Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You call the company that's going to fix any issue, all right? They're going to make the Brown go down at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's what they do. Make sure the Brown goes down. Now, it's not only about the Brown. There's also that water that's coming out of your faucets, also that water that's coming out of your shower, right? Make sure everything is running smooth. And a way you can make sure everything is running smooth, Lance, is going and making sure that your water heater is nice.
Yeah.
And you can get a free water heater.
Yeah, it's like so if you get a repiping job done, they're going to give you a free water heater. So that's great. I mean, even if you have a water heater, you say, our water heater is 7 years old, it's still fine. Take the new one. They're giving it to you for free, and they're going to install it for you, absolutely, as part of the deal. And then the other thing is, maybe you just say, I don't need repiping. We've already had that done, or I've got a new home. But I would like to have my water heater serviced and cleaned out, or my tankless water heater done. They do that. It should be done every year regardless. So that's the difference with Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com to see all the services they offer, small and large, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Kane is in the building.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We've got a couple of callers. Longhorn Scott is on his second tour of duty. Let's get him in here. What up, Longhorn Scott?
Well, fellas, good morning. You know, I'm not one to tell you I told you so. I think you can agree. You know, I'm a pretty humble guy.
You're exactly that not, guy, Scott. You're
no,
exactly
you're
the
exact
guy.
Opposite of what you just said.
You're exactly who you are. You will tell you I told you so.
So, look, I called you guys after the Mississippi State game. I said Texas was going to finish 3-1, and among those, or, you know, was going to be in Georgia because I couldn't pick us to win that game. And I was right, okay? Why? Am I Nostradamus? No, because I have a brain and I watch college football. And there's some things you can count on, okay? A&M going to A&M. Their buttholes were puckered up. We got the catches. We got the best team ever. And this is the year. No, it's not. You can't handle the pressure. Elko was like eating goobers between the hat. I mean, Aggie going to Aggie. They were puckered up. They couldn't handle the pressure. And they are little brother. Poor Aggies. Okay, let's reconcile a few other things. Well, we're okay. We're getting ready for the playoffs. We don't care. Yeah, playoffs, been there, done that. Semifinals, 2 years in a row. Let's see how you do. I can't wait. Maybe they get the Tech matchup. I don't know. Either way, I cannot see this. Maybe they make it out of their first round game. Maybe they don't, because all of the teams in the playoffs also have a winning record. Sorry. What's that? Oh, you didn't make it to an SEC championship yet? Dang, Texas, once again, we did that in our first year. And you know why you didn't last year or this year? Because the Horns dominated it, invented it. We run the state. Like, guys, you can't shake it. And don't tell me we're focused on the playoffs. You know what? We're focused on the idea that in a very bad year for us, we could still go 10-3. Like, we probably will. And that's a down year for the Horns. 8-4 every year. You finally get a modicum of success by having the luckiest tournaments in the SEC ever and playing every team below the halfway mark of talent in the SEC except for Daddy. So anyway, Ag, congrats on being exactly who we know you to be. Daddy says, run along now. Have a lovely playoff. Let's see what happens. And by the way, if Texas somehow sneaks into the playoff, which they won't. But if they did, bro, I'll be calling back. I'm already hopped up on Aggie tears now. I mean, that may just send me straight to rehab. Like, this will be so great. But I don't know, guys. Did I miss anything?
No.
Well, yeah. Let me.
You did it all. Daddy said, "Run along."
Let me check you on this a little bit.
Daddy said goodbye.
Let's see.
Bye.
You said 10-3 is the norm for Texas. If they win in a bowl game, they will be 10-3. Last year, 13-3. The year before that, 12-2. So that's accurate.
That would be a down year, Lance.
Right. That would be a down year. But before that, 8-5, 5-7, 7-3, 8-5, 10-4, 76, 5-7, 5-7, 6-7, 8-5, 9-4, 8-5, 5-7. So
Big 12 champ.
A little recency in
by the way, also, hey, Arkansas. You know what, Lance? You know what I did this morning? Like I do every morning.
You took an Arkansas?
Arkansas? You took a Sooner. You know what? In the last 2 years, Texas has beaten the three teams that kept dreaming about us every day, both years by double digits. So Arkansas, Oklahoma, A&M. Suck it, boys. You're always going to be our
That's all. He deserved his time.
He deserved his time, and there's going to be a lot of Longhorns actually that like what he said this time. Sometimes they don't like him speaking for them. My wife has said that. I think she likes him speaking for him this time, based on all the trash she was talking in my house when I was watching a game.
Yeah.
After the game.
Well, Aggie tears again with that. Okay. Listen, Aggs. Ags are, you know what? It might have been the best thing that happened. You never know what's going to happen in the SEC championship game, what injuries or anything else. Now you're going to have a home game, but it's going to be a harder road for sure. I don't know that Texas is your daddy, but he sure did take care of business these last couple of years as the rivalry has renewed. And the history of the two programs, obviously, Texas is dominant.
It was a dominant performance against your offense. Like, I thought A&M's offense was going to hang over 30 on them. I really did. I didn't. But, man, they really dominated Texas A&M's offense and brought up questions. I'm not necessarily in this camp, but I don't have a good argument against it. The camp of A&M didn't play anybody relative to who Texas played, relative to who Oklahoma played, relative to they got the very best of everything handed to them. And I still think A&M's a good football team, but that argument, I can't necessarily counter it. Because when they faced the best comp, the best opponent, they faced Notre Dame, but that was game two. I don't know how that game would go right now. Notre Dame's a better team, and Notre Dame.
Oh, I still believe the Aggies are a good football.
It'd be another high scoring game. Yeah, I think A&M is a playoff team for sure, for sure. But you know that argument about they didn't play anybody.
They didn't play anybody.
They didn't look. They did not look like I thought they were going to look against Texas.
They had the easiest SEC schedule you could possibly have.
It was.
They could possibly have.
No Georgia, no Alabama.
No
you got
Tennessee.
Texas at
no.
the end. You got no Oklahoma, right?
No Oklahoma.
No Vanderbilt.
No. And, you know, no Georgia. Yeah, I mean, they had the
Georgia,
easiest.
Georgia, Bama. No Ole Miss?
No Ole Miss.
I mean, holy crap, you missed every playoff team.
Every playoff team you missed. Every ranked team you missed.
And then when you played Texas, it wasn't good.
Yeah. Yep. And, well, listen, I will say this, though. Watching that game, and I know, listen, I've been to DK Memorial, DKR. Yeah. I've been to that stadium. I want to tell you, I don't know that I've ever, and while I watched it on TV, I wasn't there, but I've never seen that place as hyped as it was that night. It was a great college football. It was college football won that night because it was a great atmosphere for college football. And it's not always the case in Texas. They're not, you know, they're not as loud.
Whoa. Did you see that? Reuben Owens just fell down again for no reason.
Who did?
Reuben Owens, the running back from Texas A&M who fell down four times.
Wow.
For no real reason at all because he's just leaning forward expecting contact. I think he just fell again while he was walking to class.
He didn't fall again, Reuben Owens.
You don't know that he didn't fall again.
Well, you don't know that he did.
Moss doesn't fall down. Reuben Owens falls down a lot.
Moss can't even walk. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, typically he doesn't fall down.
Okay. Let's get Elliot in here. Hey, Elliot, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I was reading an article this morning on The Athletic about the playoffs, NFL playoffs specifically, and the chances of some of the outsiders coming in. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Bengals' chances, but if they win this Sunday and either the Ravens, more than likely if the Ravens, but if the Ravens or Steelers, unless they tie, Bengals only one game out, which is kind of a crazy way that this is all played out because they're playing the Bills. They beat the Bills. Ravens lose. Then you're one game out. You play the Ravens again, I believe. If you beat them, you're in later on this year. I just think that that's a crazy kind of way that the Bengals can get in. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see some real crazy stuff.
Elliot, you're a Steeler fan, right? Elliot, you're a Steeler fan, right?
I am.
We've got a few Steeler fans, John, who will call in or text. I was telling
the Steelers are playing the Ravens, so the Bengals, the best they can be is two games back.
Right, because one of those teams.
No, they're two games back right. They're two games back right now.
Right, one of them is going to win. Yeah, but one of them, Steelers or Ravens, are going to win.
Yeah, one of those teams is going to win.
That's right. So there'll still be two games back.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see conceivably. You and I talked about it, John. The Bengals have a little bit of an outside shot, but it's not insane, and their schedule's not crazy difficult at all.
No,
they could run out.
I think the Bengals. What did the Athletic say their percentage of winning the division is?
If they went out, they said they have a 93% chance of making the playoffs. Just the way everything's going to play out. But again, they're two games back
like
right now.
Wins,
if they win, yeah, they're going to be one game back of whoever loses.
Well, whoever loses, they'll be one game back, but not. They'll still be
That's
two
correct.
Games back.
But they have the same record. Yeah.
Right.
And they're playing.
But the only way they're getting in is by winning the division. So they've got to. Yeah, and listen, they can. They look like a totally different football team with Joe. I mean,
well,
and Buffalo is
are.
Not playing well, and the rest of Cincinnati's schedule is. So they've got the Bills, Then they got the Ravens. That's head-to-head. And if the Ravens, I mean, they could easily be just one game back in the division after next week. The Dolphins, the Cardinals, and the Browns. There's no reason they can't win out, especially the way the Bills are playing. This Bills game on Sunday is the most important game of the season for these Bengals. Well, the way that they started, every game is going to be huge. But they absolutely can win this division. Absolutely. And you know what? That's a dangerous team then. I was just watching on ESPN just now. They think the scariest team in the AFC is your Houston Texans. The scariest team. And you know what? When they've won 7 of their last 9. The way they've got the best defense in the league. The offense is meh, but coming around. You know, so I how can you disagree with that? This Chiefs game, huge. Huge for both teams. Texans win this one, and they're a 76% chance of making the playoffs. They're still 30-something percent if they lose this game. The Chiefs are almost done if they lose this game. Almost, just about done. They're on life support. So this is a big one.
Cut the head off of the Chiefs. We're done with them.
We're done. 713-780-3776. A little M&J.
Yes, M&J Electric. So I'm talking primarily to for those of you who are contractors or electrical contractors. But see, here's the thing. I'm also talking to people who own or manage or run buildings where you're going to have all new electrical put in. M&J Electrical Parts, Electrical Supplies is the name of the company. They've been around for a long time. And for over 30 years, they've sold and delivered new and reconditioned electrical equipment in Houston and nationwide. And, of course, it's huge because there's contractors who get a hold of them. They have exactly what you're looking for in terms of the disconnects, transformers, fuses, panels, switch gear, and more. They've got it all brands, doesn't matter. They've even got the refurbished and reconditioned so that you get something that's going to cost you a little less and still outstanding quality. But the great thing is the lead time is destroyed. If you're waiting for, you know, one of these companies that tells you it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks, that's money out of your pocket when you have jobs that you have to get done. M&J can supply it immediately. And the great part is, and I'm talking to everyone here now, if you're having old electrical equipment taken out and you're going to replace it with new, they want to buy that old electrical equipment from you. In most cases, you're taking it to scrap and you're getting scrapyard prices, which isn't much. M&J is going to pay you top dollar. They're going to pay you good money. You're going to make a lot more money on that old electrical equipment. So why would you not make more money with that electrical equipment? Even if you're not a contractor, but you own or run a building, this is a great chance to put some more money back in your pocket. Call them today, 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055. Or email them today at sales@mnjelectrical.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.